Is that even a real word? I asked. It should be, he said, with a superior sniff. Little Chicago might be able to handle something if you want to give it a test run. The skull spun around to face me. Tell me that this doesn't have something to do with the bruises on your face. I'm not sure it does, I said. I got word today that the gatekeeper, Bob shivered, thinks that there's black magic afoot in town and that I need to do something about it. And you want to try to use Little Chicago to find it? Maybe, I said. Do you think it'll work? I think that the Wright brothers tested their new stuff at Kitty Hawk instead of trying it over the Grand Canyon for a reason, Bob said. Specifically, because if the plane folded due to flawed design, they might survive it at Kitty Hawk. Or maybe they couldn't afford to travel, I said. Besides, how dangerous could it be? Bob stared at me for a second. Then he said, You've been pouring energy into this thing every night for 6 months, Harry. And right now, it's holding about 300 times the amount of energy that kinetic ring you wear will contain. I blinked. At full power, that ring could almost knock a car onto its side. 300 times that kind of energy translated to, well, something I'd rather not experience within the cramped confines of the lab. It's got that much in it? Yes, and you haven't tested it yet. If you've screwed up some of the harmonics, it could blow up in your face, worst-case scenario. Best case, you only blow out the project and set yourself back to ground zero. To square one, I corrected him. Square one is the beginning of a project. Ground zero is the area immediately under a bomb blast. One may tend to resemble the other, Bob said sourly. I'll just have to live with the risk, I said. That's the exciting life of a professional wizard and his daring assistant. Oh, please, assistants get paid. In answer, I reached down to a paper bag out of sight below the table and withdrew two paperback romances. Bob let out a squeaking sound, and his skull jounced and jittered on the blue-painted surface of the table that represented Lake Michigan. Is that it? Is that it? He squeaked. Yes, I said. They're rated burning hot by some kind of romance society. Lots of sex and kink, Bob caroled. Gimme! I dropped them back into the bag and looked from Bob to Little Chicago. The skull spun back around. You know what kind of black magic? He asked. No clue, just black. Vague, yet unhelpful, Bob said. Annoyingly so. Oh, the gatekeeper didn't do it to annoy you, Bob said. He did it to prevent any chance of paradox. I blinked. He what? He got this from hindsight. He had to, Bob said. Hindsight, I murmured. You mean he went to the future for this?
Well, Bob hedged, that would break one of the laws, so probably not. But he might have sent himself a message from there, or maybe gotten it from some kind of prognosticating spirit. He might even have developed some ability for that himself. Some wizards do.
Meaning what? I asked. Meaning that it's possible nothing has happened yet, but that he wanted to put you on your guard against something that's coming in the immediate future. Why not just tell me? I asked. Bob sighed. You just don't get this, do you? I guess not. Okay. Let's say he finds out that someone is going to steal your car tomorrow. Heh, I said bitterly. Okay, let's say that. Right. Well, he can't just call you up and tell you to move your car. Why not? Because if he significantly altered what happened with his knowledge of the future, it could cause all sorts of temporal instabilities. It could cause new parallel realities to split off from the point of the alteration, ripple out into multiple alterations he couldn't predict, or kind of backlash into his consciousness and drive him insane. Bob glanced at me again. Which, you know, might not do much to deter you, but other wizards take that kind of thing seriously. Thank you, Bob, I said, but I still don't get why any of those things would happen. Bob sighed. Okay, Temporal Studies 101. Let's say that he hears about your car being stolen. He comes back to warn you, and as a result, you keep your car.
Sounds good so far.
But if your car never got stolen, Bob said. Then how did he know to come back and warn you?